Time for another Stain Gang podcast with Bernita Jackson as we talk about Midwestern State women's basketball. The women are going to be back home for a rare Sunday matinee. They'll be home hosting St. Mary's this Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about the game coming up with the Rattlers in a moment, but I want to talk about the road trip and this gauntlet that you've just completed, and not to take anything away from St. Mary's, because it looks like you're going to have your hands full with the Rattlers as well, but these last three games, all against ranked opponents, that's probably the toughest stretch you could face in the LSC. This past week, you took on TWU and UT Tyler, and I thought maybe that second half of the Tyler game, that might be the best 20 minutes of basketball you've played this year.
Yeah, I agree. I thought our girls made some adjustments, and obviously when you start making shots, it looks a lot better, but the main thing with them is just getting them to stay focused on what we do and understanding that it's a process, and sometimes a process is harder than we anticipate, but you know, just being relentless about what it is that you want to do. I thought we asserted ourselves by just getting to the free throw line on them and knocking down some free throws and then getting up and pressuring them. And so we're starting to kind of adjust a little bit better. Thought if we could have played the way we played in the first half against Texas Women's and then the second half against UT Tyler, you know, it could have been a different outcome. But still very proud of them. And again, really good opponents, you know, on the road at their home court with a national championship and Elite Eight experience. I thought our girls played pretty well considering the circumstances. Just it wasn't, from my opinion, just not good enough. You got to put 40 minutes together. This is not a forgiving game where you're just going to get a bunch of moral victories. And so we got to put together 40 minutes in one night, you know, not 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there. And so they'll figure that out. They're young, and we'll continue to push them, and we'll continue to challenge them and teach them and grow them and develop them. And we still got a lot of games left to play, so I'm excited about that.
What do you think the ladies learned from playing that kind of competition over the last week?
The biggest thing that they do that we're learning is that no matter what the run is, whether we're on a run or they on a run, they stick to the game plan. So deviating from the game plan and trying to put the team on your back is not something that experienced teams do. It's not something that championship teams do. And so they got to see that with their own eyes, that even on a bad call from the ref, from your opinion, you think it's a bad call, right? Everybody thinks every call is a bad call. You know, somebody's going to disagree with every call. So even on that, you didn't see them then go away from their game plan. They just sustain the run by sticking to what they practice every day. And so the biggest takeaway is the discipline piece. You have to be disciplined. You have to play team basketball at this level. Everybody is good. That's why they're in college. And so you have to lean into the strategies that your team practices every day. And I think they saw that. They talked about it. And then we've been kind of watching film and teaching from that perspective. What do we look like when we are executing and playing together? So they're getting to see that. But again, I have a very young team. I have the youngest team probably in the Lone Star. And so obviously with that early injury, we had to make some adjustments. And so I've got more freshmen playing than what we had originally anticipated. And so they got to grow up. I mean, this is just the way life unfolds for you, my love. You don't get to sit behind somebody else. You're going to have to play, and so they'll get it. But the biggest thing is that discipline and really just understanding that runs didn't bother them. Our runs didn't bother them. They continue to execute. And through that, they understood that the long game is execution will win for me. And so our kids are learning that. And not just offense, I even mean defense, whatever those defensive assignments are, you got to execute on both ends. And so we got to see that. We got to see three really tough conference opponents, the three best. Now we'll play Lubbock Christian again because they're on our side of the league. But, you know, as far as Texas Women's and UT Tyler, that was one and done, you know, unless we get to that conference tournament and see them again.
So, which is still the goal, right?
Absolutely. It's always the goal. The goal doesn't change just because you're not getting immediate success. The goal will always be conference tournament. Let's see them again. Let's make adjustments so that we can come out on top. And so if you kind of watched our pressure against them, our defense against them, if you were really watching, both teams were kind of on their heels a little bit against our pressure. And so we got to convert more on that. The pressure is good. The defense is good. Now we need to go score on it and, you know, get something out of it. And so I thought our team did well again, at the end of that UT Tyler game, of just getting to the rim and finishing and then getting to the free throw line, because at the free throw line we can talk and we can adjust and we can adapt and different things like that. I mean, UT Tyler had to call a timeout on one of our presses that we threw at them. And I mean, I didn't think they had possession, but maybe the ref saw something. I didn't. It looked like it was in the air when she called the timeout, but they got it. And so, I mean, anytime you get a coach to blow a timeout, you know, because of pressure, that's good, you know. So we look at stuff like that and we say, can we multiply possessions like this, right? Because the coach ain't going to have 20 timeouts. So,
right.
So
yeah.
Can we multiply possessions like this where they're so confused that they're literally having to call a timeout or regroup just to figure out what you're in? And so if we can multiply those kinds of possessions and, again, score on them once we turn them over, you know, again, this is against some of the best in the country. And so my freshmen are getting to see with their own eyes, I can do this. I just have to do it consistently. So that's our goal.
Yeah, I kind of want to follow up on something you were talking about, because these players, I'm guessing, were all, in all likelihood, the best player on their high school team.
Sure.
Maybe in some cases the second best player on their high school team. But when it came to crunch time, maybe they were kind of used to just kind of taking over the game.
Yes.
Is that something they kind of have to get over and realize, hey, I'm at this level and I'm with players that are at least as talented and in some cases maybe more talented?
Sure. I do think that's a huge adjustment for freshmen. I mean, you do have AAU where they're playing with other talented players in those settings. But with AAU, you're playing probably three times as many games as you practice. And so they're kind of just, I mean, they're getting to play with better players, but they're not taught as much to execute on the AAU circuit because they just go play games.
And there's not as much of a game plan.
There's that. It's let's see what you can do. Roll the ball out. What happens, happens. And I don't, no knock against it. I've coached on the circuit, the EYBL circuit. And so I've coached some kids that are at Power Fives right now. And that was one of the things that we told them when they were young is, like, you know, either you can get a bucket or you can't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have all day to keep drawing stuff up. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the dynamic of AAU. And so you do learn how to play with good players. High school is way more practices than games. And so they learn how to play within a system in high school. And so trying to get those two worlds to merge here in college and get them to understand the value of the system, the value of, you know, whatever it is that your team did, the value of practice in addition to the value of getting to play with really good players, merging together in college. And so trying to get them to understand both were helpful in different ways. Lean into what we practice every day, because if you lean into what we practice every day, good things will happen. And not just for you, for us. It's not just about you making a shot. Well, I want you to make a shot. I mean, if anybody's advocating for you to make a shot, it is me. I want you to make a shot. I'm ready to cheer and high five for you making a shot. But your teammates need to know what you're doing. They need to know what it looks like when you're about to take a shot. They need to know what it looks like when you're about to drive. And so what we do in practice, we know what it looks like. If you get into the game and do something different, and usually this is a time where you drive, but then you decide I'm going to shoot, nobody's ready for it. So then we don't even have rebounders. Our transition defense isn't ready. And so, you know, in practices, that's one thing we've been emphasizing. Listen, if you're going to be in game shooting those shots, I need you to shoot them in practice so we can get ready and we know what it looks like. Don't shock us, you know, just trying these new moves or these new shots. But it'll fall. It'll come together for them. I do think this group, again, like with all the adjustments and being such a young team, you know, they've had a lot that they've had to kind of overcome in a short amount of time. Also, too, I think starting with some of the hardest teams in the conference has set a standard and a bar for us that I think is good. I honestly think it's good. It can be frustrating, but I think it's good. I think it's best to play the best at the beginning so you see what the standard is. You see what execution yields you. You see what team basketball can do for you. And so it was good. I think we got to see what works for us and what we need to continue to work on. And, you know, again, some of those shots that we were making on really good teams, whether it's Zaria Carter or Kirby Cash, I thought those two have really blossomed since even more since Lone Star Conference play has started, and they've been kind of that consistent presence that we've needed. And so we'll add on to that. We'll get our third leading scorer going here. And then we'll use our defense to fuel us in transition more as we move forward in conference play.
The other thing the freshmen are getting used to is this week, the final exams,
yes,
and then playing basketball on Sunday at the end of that week.
Exactly.
So that's another adjustment they're having to make, right? Dealing with the academic side as well.
Huge. And Midwestern State, I mean, you can't be a slouch here. I mean, it is a challenge academically. And so we had to get high academic young ladies who could manage both. And so they're in there and it's rigorous and they're not taking a bunch of bird courses. Like, we have young ladies that are pre-vet majors or education majors or whatever else, like nursing majors. We have young ladies that are getting rigorously, like, you know, tried and tested mentally. And so, yes, this week has been huge for them to finish up. Last week they were a little stressed out because they want to do well academically, but exams finals started this past Saturday, which never seen that before till I got to MSU. Hey, whatever it starts, you get in there and you take it. But so far they've been really excited because they've been going in and doing well on these finals, and you can kind of see a load lift off their shoulders a little bit because they're finishing up a very tough 16-week semester, and so very proud of them. But yeah, it's a huge adjustment. Adjustments. Even if you're coming from a JUCO, it's a huge adjustment. Our professors are, you know, I would say 10 out of 10. They're very intelligent. They know their stuff. You know, they're going to test you. They're going to take you through it. But they also will meet with you and counsel you if you need help. And so they'll work with you. They do a phenomenal job working with our young ladies. But it's tough here at MSU academically. And so our young ladies are learning that. And and as they learn that I can't just show up and pass the class, you know, I got to actually do the work. Yes, you got to do the work. As they're learning that, I believe next semester they'll get even better at it and have a better game plan going into it. So it has been a huge adjustment for them academically. And again, I appreciate our professors because they do such a great job working with them, but also to holding them to a very high standard.
This St. Mary's game is not going to be a cakewalk for you. They're coming in. They've got a 3-game winning streak. They're
yes.
coming in 6-2. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a couple of routes, whipping Western New Mexico and spanking Sol Ross State. So they're coming in with a lot of confidence. And one of the things I noticed, they block a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect your game plan?
I think the main thing is just being ready to read the defense. I think pump fakes and finishes will be valuable for us. And then since you know that they like to block shots, obviously, you know, again, those jabs and pump fakes, different things like that to get the defense up before you go up and finish. For us, a big issue for us is kind of not reading that defense. And so we're learning that and we'll get better at it as time goes. But I don't think a shot blocking team is something to be afraid of. I think you should do that against anybody. You know, I think if somebody's in your face, I think you should pump fake and finish, you know. So we'll be ready for it. We've been working on that kind of stuff, just kind of squaring your shoulders up to the goal, pump faking and finishing through contact, expect contact, kind of talking to them about going to games, expecting for people to be up off their feet and trying to block shots and trying to make plays. So that's the big thing for us. Make sure we have the space to get the shot off, and then if they're on you, pump fake them and finish.
And then they've also got a couple of freshmen that are playing well. Kristen Collins is their leading scorer with 17 points a game, shooting better than 56% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about the shot blocking, and Rain Malik's in the middle of that, and she's a freshman from Canada that
mm-hmm.
Is a long way from home playing
yes.
at St. Mary's.
Yes, she is. Both of them are playing really well for her right now. Last year, they lost their freshman of the year. She got into the portal. And so they brought in another good post player. St. Mary's wants to get the ball inside. I mean, they're leading scorers because almost every possession, they're trying to get the ball to her. And so.
Well, and she's the only player in double figures for them.
Yeah, she is. She's good, though. I mean, that's the thing that I love about Val and the way she coaches her team. She's not afraid to coach a freshman either, you know. And
right.
she coaches them up and she gets some touches. And so, I mean, if she can keep this one, it'll be good for her trajectory. But she's kind of lost her freshman of the year the last few years to the portal. But that's kind of the thing, though, with this day and age, with you know, building out a roster is you get them good and then somebody else wants them, you know. So I do think retention is huge. It's a huge thing. But, no, she can play. That freshman can play. She plays with a lot of confidence. She can finish inside over both shoulders. And so we're going to have to limit her touches. We're going to have really good pressure on the guards so that they can't make these perfect passes to her. And then once she gets it, we're going to have to just heavily contest, box her out, and try to keep her off the free throw line. We don't want to send her to the free throw line. And then their second leading scorer comes off the bench for them. But same thing. I think everybody else just knows their job and plays their role. And they're going to try to slow us down in the half court some and just kind of make us shoot over them. And so we got to be ready for that. And they kind of run a sagging like Pac-Man defense. We got to be ready for that stuff and be ready to catch the ball, ready to score.
Yeah, in fact, they're second and third leading scorers have both come off the bench quite a bit this year. Stina Spielberg has started 4 of 8 games. She's averaging a little over 8.5 points. And then right in that same area is Amani Ivory, who's averaging almost 9 points a game. And she's only made one start in her 6 appearances this season. So they bring some talent off the bench. But the good news is you'll be at home.
And yes.
In fact, you've got 2 games at home because Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, St. Edwards will be here.
Yes.
And St. Edwards has won their last 2 games. They beat Sol Ross State in Western Mexico as we record this. Mm-hmm. They've got a little mini winning streak intact. So another tough game coming up, it would appear.
Yeah, both of them are. But both of them have played teams that, you know, are at the bottom of the Lone Star. And so, yes, they're going to have confidence. But, you know, it's one of those things where is it real confidence or is it kind of false confidence, you know what I mean? It's one, if you come out here and beat UT Tyler and beat Lubbock Christian and then Texas Women's at their place, then I could see you being confident. And so from that perspective, I guess you take the wins and you're excited about it. But for us, it's our home court, and we're looking forward to protecting our home court. We're looking forward to good stiff competition on both games. Both of them are 2 o'clock games, and so we're excited about that. And then also excited for our team to be able to finish up exams and focus on just basketball for a couple of weeks. That'll be fun.
Right. And after the St. Edwards game, you'll get a little bit of a break, right?
Mm-hmm. Get a little bit of a break until the new year where we come back and get right back into conference play again. We'll be on the road when we get back. So these next 2 games at home will be our last 2 of the season. We invite everybody to come out to Ligon Coliseum and watch us play Sunday, December the 15th at 2 p.m. It's going to be a great game.
And we want to see everybody out at DL Ligon Coliseum on Sunday afternoon. Can't think of anything else going on Sunday afternoon. Might as well be out there checking out some of the good women's basketball.
Yeah.
Bernita, thanks for your time, and good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
That's a Stang Gang podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to make your plans to be out at DL Ligon Coliseum to support the Midwestern State women's basketball team. If you can't make it, we'll have the game for you live on Flow Sports, and we'll also have an audio-only broadcast available for you, but we want to see you at DL Ligon Coliseum. I'm Pete Stein. So long.